Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance, reminding you that when you adopt a shelter pet, you discover all the things that make them unique. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch snuggling, ball chasing, face licking, and of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. FootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
He's getting better and better. He's getting better and better. He's getting big, big.
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
We are fired up, and we are ready for the schedule, my friend. Whether it's real or it's going to happen or if they can't have bye weeks, there's nothing like schedule day. And people laugh at you when you say that. But as old football writers, I think the two of us love to plan out our lives. And it's just it's a glorious thing.
Well, think about what the schedule release usually does by way of capturing attention when it happens at a time when the NBA playoffs have just started, the NHL playoffs are going, the baseball season is unfolding, and the schedule release even then is a big deal. Now, in a wasteland of sports nothingness, yeah, it's all we got. And it's amazing because we already know the who and the where, we just don't know the when. But that supplying the when of the 256 games becomes a big deal. Even if, and I'm not going to say none of the 256 games are played, I am very, very confident based upon some people I've spoken to that football will happen this year. Whether that means 16 games, we'll see. But it's going to happen. And that's what's going to be fascinating about the schedule. What clues will there be regarding changes that can be made to the schedule to allow for a shorter season? Will it be all interconference games right out of the gates? So if they have to shed four games, the games that are lost are the games that you would be playing against the teams from the other conference.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Mike. And think it, we, as we've been saying, it's not necessarily who you play, but when you play them. And that would suggest an interesting dynamic. One, loading up early in the season, maybe on the games, or whenever you structure your regional matchups versus the kind of, you know, compressed training camp, you're not going to have any OTAs. So who you play in that first month could be very critical to determine the course and direction of your season if that is the toughest part of your schedule.
And another factor that is going to create some potentially significant competitive disparities, whether or not stadiums will be open and if stadiums are open during the season. For example, let's say you are the San Francisco 49ers and you know you have to go to Seattle at some point, just like the Rams, just like the Cardinals. Well, you're the 49ers and you go to Seattle the first month of the season when there are no fans there, which means it's a hell of a lot easier place to play. The Cardinals and the Rams have to go there in the last month of the season. By then, the stadium is full, potentially, and it creates a disadvantage for them, an advantage for the 49ers. That's why I think the NFL is hoping that whenever the season unfolds, everything will be apples to apples, and that the stadiums and there is and you know, based upon where we are right now, we look at it and say, well, this is nuts. But there is kind of a quiet confidence that by the time we get to September, October timeframe, that testing will be sufficiently prevalent, that understanding of how the virus operates, how to treat people who get it and who get sick from it, will be at a level that you can let people make a decision for themselves. Do I want to go out to this game? Now, whether or not people actually fill a stadium is a different issue, but the NFL has a very, very quiet confidence right now that by the time football season rolls around, it will be at a point where if people choose to, you know, make the decision, take the risk, they can go to a stadium and potentially fill it up.
Anybody that is following the Bears knows that they were ducking the question about Mitch Trubisky and declining the option or exercising the option for as long as anybody can remember. The entire offseason, basically, they just kept desperately trying to change the subject when that came up on, you know, around the draft conference call. Again, they haven't been, they made themselves overly available. It was, oh, well, you know, we're focused on the draft. There's always been a reason. They decline it, obviously, as a lot of teams have done around the league. Now it's different with a quarterback, and I get it. Maybe that's why they had to decline at the amount of money. And Mitch, it's been ugly. But I can't believe that affects the betting odds of who's going to be the starting quarterback. I just thought that that was kind of a fait accompli, but apparently this is viewed as the end of Mitch.
Well, and look, he's not the first guy, and let me say it this way, he wouldn't be the first guy who has his fifth-year option not picked up but then goes on to have a solid fourth year. I remember when the Buccaneers didn't pick up the fifth-year option on running back Doug Martin. He had a big year, and they had to pay him a lot more money than they would have paid him under the fifth-year option to keep him around. This decision to not pick up the fifth-year option for Trubisky, I think it was smart by the Bears. They didn't compound their initial mistake by doubling down. And here's the other thing to keep in mind. The fifth-year option would have cost about $24.8 million. The fifth-year option for a top 10 pick is the transition tag for that position from the prior year. So it's in that neighborhood of $24.5 million. Let's say the salary cap goes down next year. Let's say it goes down fairly significantly because of the reduced revenues that the NFL will realize, especially if games have to be played out with no fans in the stands. The franchise tag for this year was $26.8 million for quarterbacks. There's a chance that the franchise tag next year for quarterbacks will be less than what that fifth-year option was going to be. So the worst-case scenario slash best-case scenario for the Bears, Trubisky gets a chance to play, plays incredibly well, and they find themselves painted into a corner where they have to franchise tag Trubisky. There's a chance where it'll cost them less to franchise tag him than there would have been to use the fifth-year option. So I think across the board they did something very smart here. And it would be the proverbial good problem to have if they have to deal with Trubisky about to hit the market. Do we franchise tag him? That will mean he played better than anyone expected, and he's done enough to secure some sort of a future in Chicago.
Mike, with due respect to those at Hallis Hall, experience tells me that they did not think of that as quickly as you did, because I'm not sure they would have looked at it that way, but that's a great way to look at it. It could actually save money, perhaps.
That's very let me tell you something. I hope you're wrong, because if I can think of it, I'd like to think that the people who are actually responsible for the fate of an NFL franchise have thought of it.
Well, yeah, maybe so. Look, headline yesterday was interesting. Carson Wentz says that he's willing to be the mentor to Jalen Hurts, or however he worded it. And it struck me that that's not a headline I'm probably going to read coming out of Green Bay anytime soon. What is the latest with the Aaron Rodgers-Jordan Love relationship? And I thought you posed an interesting question on ProFootballTalk.com. Would that draft pick have happened if there was an owner in place to maybe get in the way and to add his or her two cents?
Yeah, this is something that Chris Sims tripped over earlier in the week. Influenced by my cynicism, he's been dealing with me long enough, and I was actually disappointed I hadn't thought of this, because I have often pointed out that Green Bay is both helped and harmed by not having a traditional owner. You know, for example, I think Mike McCarthy ended up staying in Green Bay a hell of a lot longer than he would have anywhere else, and maybe was complacent, more complacent than would have been if he was dealing with a Jerry Jones all the time, when you don't have that owner who can roll out of bed any given day and start firing people. And if you're Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, and you have to make the case to a Jerry Jones or a Jeffrey Lurie or a Robert Kraft or any specific single owner of a team that you want to trade up, give up a fourth round pick, trade up to draft a quarterback less than 20 months after making a major financial investment in Aaron Rodgers, taking the final 2 years of his contract, extending it by four more, paying him $82 million combined for 2018 and 2019 so you can have those four extra years, and then undermining those four extra years by trading up to draft a quarterback, I think that an owner would look at that in a different way than maybe a Mark Murphy would. And I think an owner would look at that and potentially say, what the hell are you doing? Now, the other reality here, and I don't want to say reality, I say possibility, Mark Murphy wants this. Mark Murphy saw the dysfunction last year that came out in the aftermath of McCarthy being fired. And Murphy at the time said, hey, this may be good for the team. It kind of gets everybody upset and frustrated and motivated and focused. And it worked. They went 13-3. Maybe Murphy likes the idea of Aaron Rodgers having a little flame tickling his rear end, that maybe that'll get him to play even better this year and next year and however long he's in Green Bay. But I still think that it would be hard to justify to an owner why we just spent $82 million on Aaron Rodgers to have him for four more years, and we're gonna hurt those 4 years by drafting his potential successor.
We started out talking to you about the schedule, and I guess we didn't mention that all the games will be in the United States, and that's obviously a little bit different than the way things had been going. That I would imagine is pretty well received. I don't think that the players or maybe coaches, I mean, I'm sure the owners want whatever share of capital they can get, but that won't be a problem really at all. I mean, I would imagine there's almost a sigh of relief there.
Yeah, I don't think there are many players and coaches that have circled those trips overseas as things they look forward to in a positive way. I think it's things they dread. Although the Jaguars this year were going to have an interesting situation where they were going to play back-to-back games at Wembley Stadium. Think of the advantage that potentially gives you for the second game when you've been there and you've acclimated, yeah, and you're facing a team that is just coming over to play you for that one game. So, you know, that'll have to wait for a future year to see how that experiment works out. But, you know, it's unfortunate because the NFL really has momentum globally, especially in London with the four games per year there. And Tottenham Hotspur, the Premier League soccer club there, is losing like $5 million or so for not having those games. You know, that's just a tip of the iceberg of all the financial losses that we're going to see in sports and beyond. But, you know, this is really the first major tangible consequence of the pandemic. Five games that would have been played on foreign soil won't be. Hopefully they will be played on American soil. Hopefully all 256 will be played. But I just think it's a no-brainer. And, you know, it really didn't surprise anyone that was the end result.
Mike, the NFL loses a coaching giant. Don Shula passes away at 90. We asked this question earlier in the show with 68-year-old Bill Belichick, 55 regular season victories away from Shula's record of 328. Which is more likely, Belichick catches Shula or a team goes unbeaten to match the 72 Dolphins?
I think it's more unlikely that a team goes unbeaten, especially with the season going to 17 games next year. I mean, think about it. You have to go 17-0. You have to match the Dolphins just to get to the play. I mean, before you even get to the postseason, you have to match the Dolphins. So you're going to have to go 20-0 as of next year to match the Dolphins. So I think Belichick's going to catch Shula. I guess at one point Belichick said he doesn't see himself coaching when he's 70. It's easy to say that when you're not staring down the barrel of 70. But I remember, I don't remember this because I don't know that I was alive, but whenever George Halas decided to retire, I remember reading about this, he coached until orthopedically he couldn't do it. I mean, you get to a point where you can't stand on the sideline for 3 hours. You can't do the things physically that are required to be an NFL head coach. And I think for Belichick, that's really the only thing that would that would keep him from going, you know, deep into his 70s, maybe into his 80s? Will he be able to continue to physically do the things that a coach has to do in order to be effective? That's when George Halas realized it was time for him to retire. My guess is Don Shula may have gone through something similar. But I think that Belichick has enough left. I will see how they do post Tom Brady, but I think there's enough there that he's going to catch Don Shula.
That's amazing, because at 68, we were trying to do the math on it. Halas, I believe Halas and Marv Levy both coached up till 72, and he would probably have to get to 74. If you think about 55 games and you add up the seasons and dealing without Tom and all that.
Yeah, but it was different back then. You ever see pictures of people in their 40s? They look like they were 72, right? All those cigarettes, yeah. All those cigarettes aged the hell out of people. And let me tell you, it's amazing how prevalent cigarettes were back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. There's a Beatles documentary I watched recently regarding their years touring. And, I mean, those guys, every time you saw them, they had cigarettes. And there was one scene where, you know, Paul gets one of the other guys to give him their cigarette so he can light his next one with the one they're smoking. But people lived hard back in those days. So I think Belichick can do it. I think he can go. Robert Kraft told me a couple of years ago on PFT Live, he'd like to see Belichick coach into his 80s and be like a Warren Buffett or a Rupert Murdoch who just keeps going and going and going. So we'll see if Belichick can pull that off.
Great stuff, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, right. Thanks so
see
much.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio. Always a joy to talk to Mike. All right. We want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
And most of all, thank you for listening. And Molly, you know what? Keep listening all day tonight. It's between 6 and 7. Joe Ostrowski hosting the pregame show. Leads up to the replay of Terry Board's final broadcast, final show on The Score. Show also includes Chris Tannehill, Matt Abatacola, other surprises, and then Terry's final show from the performance stage. That's tonight, starting at 6 o'clock.
All right, that's great. Want to thank everyone connected to this program. Want to thank our executive producer, Mr. Dustin Rhodes.
You're just talking complete nonsense there.
No, he is our executive producer. And
thanks,
I want to thank Kevin Zipak. We like to call him Kevbo.
I'm sure nobody ever heard of him.
Well, I mean, a few, several. And Ray, oh my goodness gracious, Ray, thank you for making it all happen.
Welcome back, Ray.
Enough is enough.
Yeah, stop it, David. Have a great day, buddy. We will
be
back live at 5.
Stay safe, thanks.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score.
That segment brought to you by Downtown Evanston. Visit downtownevanston.org to support Evanston business.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
If it is to be said, so it be. So it is.
This is Chicago's most listened to sports morning show, created in Chicago for Chicago. Mully and Haw, mornings 5 to 9 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you need a new appliance now, The Home Depot has the appliance help you can count on. Download the Home Depot app or visit homedepot.com to search for savings on top brands like LG. With ratings and reviews to give you confidence, special buy savings, and free delivery, you'll get the appliances you need without even leaving home. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Free delivery on purchases of $396 or more. Continental U.S. only.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
News is constantly changing. For regular updates on the coronavirus and local efforts to stop the spread, turn to WBBM News Radio 105.9 FM any time of the day or night, or search for WBBM News Radio on radio.com.
Hey, it's Mully here, and during these unprecedented times, stay connected with 670 The Score. Here's a simple thing you can do to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. The Score reminds you, sanitize high-touch surfaces and avoid touching your face with unwashed hands. Remember to wave or elbow bump instead of shaking hands. Maintain at least 6 feet from others when possible. The Score is here for you. We're always live and local. Just tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score from radio.com. The Score is helping.